Democratic presidential candidates Senator Joseph Lieberman and retired General Wesley K. Clark have decided not to campaign in the Iowa caucus. Instead, they'll be putting their time and campaign money into winning New Hampshire and other primaries. If you're from Iowa, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 800-989-8255. And actually, we'd love to hear from anybody from around the country to see if you have any thoughts or questions about this. Joining me now is Ron Elving, our Washington editor, has just joined us for this discussion. Ron, what's the reason for this decision?
Well, I think it says more about these two campaigns than it says about Iowa. And while there'll be doubtless be some Iowans who feel disrespected or offended in some respect by this, they probably shouldn't, because these two campaigns have specific reasons for deciding to bypass Iowa. And they're not by any means the first presidential campaigns to do so. John McCain did not contest Iowa in 2000, did very well in New Hampshire, and almost snatched the nomination from George W. Bush. And there have been others. But I think in this particular case, these two guys have special reasons. Joe Lieberman has been on the ground in Iowa for a long time, is not making very much headway there. It's partly the war issue, which is cutting against him. But he's not had the success getting people organized to be on his side in this unique arrangement that they have, where you have to show up on a Monday night in January and sit around for hours and discuss this whole matter and then be counted. It's not just a matter of showing up to vote on the way to work or the way home. Wesley Clark is coming into the race so late that he really cannot even begin to have the kind of organization you have to be successful in Iowa. Now, Lieberman has been working at it, and I believe he has 17 staff members in Iowa. Clark is really just getting started, and being as how he is probably not a tailor-made for Iowa candidate in the first place, it's a fool's errand for him, and he's really better advised to go elsewhere.
He is better advised. You don't think that this is a strategy that could backfire, or that this could be a mistake for the campaigns? I mean, you mentioned McCain. McCain didn't go to Iowa, but McCain didn't win either.
Well, it's true. He did not win the ultimate nomination. But the traditional thing that's supposed to be most important about Iowa is that it sets you up to do very well in New Hampshire. And if you can do well in both those two states, you're really on your way to the nomination. It is not clear that anyone is going to be able to win both Iowa and New Hampshire this time. So if there is not an Iowa-New Hampshire double win for any one of the candidates, then Lieberman and Clark can argue it's a brand new race, and we go on to Delaware and South Carolina and Oklahoma and Arizona, which are not traditionally early states that have moved their primaries quite early in the process, right behind the first two. And in those states, theoretically, there would be a better chance for somebody who is seen as more, shall we say, pro-national security. I don't mean to say pro-war. I don't mean to say that they are for the Iraq war in a sense that they think that it's all gone beautifully or that they have no criticisms of it, because both of them certainly do. But they are not two people who have made opposition to the Bush policy in Iraq quite the centerpiece of their candidacy the way Dean and to some degree some of the other candidates have.
Well, we haven't heard from anyone in Iowa yet, but Ted from Rochester, New York is on the line. Ted, hi.
Hi there.
Go on ahead.
Okay. I would just like to agree with your last point there. I've been following this very carefully, and Howard Dean, having visited all 90 counties in Iowa personally and gotten endorsements from each one of them, has pretty much locked it up, with the exception of Gephardt, who is a few points behind him. But anybody else is going to be pretty much embarrassed if they say they're going in there.
Well, it's quite possible. Dick Gephardt, of course, won Iowa in 1988. Winning the caucuses there was the key to his campaign strategy. However, unfortunately for him, it did not give him the bounce that it had given to previous Democratic candidates in previous presidential cycles, and it did not translate into success in New Hampshire, where he lost to Mike Dukakis. In fact, he lost to Mike Dukakis and was not second in those New Hampshire primaries that year, and so that cost him his momentum. He didn't have the fundraising to go into Super Tuesday then after that, and that was the end of his candidacy.
And, of course, Howard Dean has a 13-point lead or a 10-point lead in New Hampshire as well as his lead in Iowa, so I doubt if that's going to happen.
Dramatically different situation in that Dean starts out with the presumption that as a Vermont governor, he's right next door, and he's got a tremendous head start in that state. Of course, it's being contested by John Kerry and some of the other candidates as well, but he does have native strength back in the New Hampshire primary. So what's really surprising about Dean, besides the fundraising that you mentioned, is that he's doing so well in Iowa, which is well away from his base, well out of his regional area.
Thanks for your call, Ted. So is this a make or break it situation for Gephardt in Iowa?
Oh, I think so. Although people have said it was make or break for Gephardt on several other fronts. They said he had to get the AFL-CIO endorsement, which is now not going to go to one candidate. The AFL-CIO decided not to make a blanket endorsement overall. And so that was supposed to be a death knell for his candidacy. But to some surprise for quite a few observers, instead, the Gephardt candidacy seems to be getting stronger. He's raising more money. He's getting more attention. People are taking another look at him. He's probably Dean's strongest competition in Iowa. And so he's still very much alive.
All right, let's take a call from Tom in Hollywood, Florida. Hi, Tom. Go ahead.
Hello, thanks. Yeah, just a two-part question real quick here. Number one, I'm curious as to whether or not these two candidates are going to have their names appear on the ballot. And the second part of the question is, if so, why is this such a big news story if, after all, it's just a question about marketing strategy in terms of resource allocation? I'll go ahead and take those comments up here.
Okay, thanks for your call. Ron?
Well, the way that the Iowa caucuses work is not like a conventional election. You don't have a ballot in a polling place where you go into a nice little booth by yourself and select the names that you want to vote for and mark it off. Lots of people wish it were like that, but Iowans like doing things their own way. And so you have to go out in the night in what will almost surely be a testingly cold night in the depths of January, and you have to meet with a group of your neighbors, a group of people in a community, and discuss the candidates, and then have little affinity groups form, and then eventually count noses among the affinity groups. It's all highly public. That's why they call them caucuses. It's not a primary election. It's not a regular election. It's a caucus. And so in that environment, there really isn't a question of whose name is on the ballot and who's not. It's a discussion of candidates everyone knows are really interested in having support from Iowa on that particular night.
All right. We've got Rick from Sioux City, Iowa, on the line. Hi, Rick.
Hey, good afternoon. I'm an Iowa Democrat and activist. In fact, I just saw Governor Dean a couple hours ago here in Sioux City. Having Lieberman and Clark drop out really doesn't change the landscape here at all. I know here in Woodbury County, where I live, Lieberman has not been here at all during the campaign season. In fact, the first time one of his aides even came to one of our county events was last month. And that's not much of a showing when you compare Mr. Dean, who's been here who knows how many times, 5-6 times. I know I've probably seen him 5 times. But Dean, Edwards, Kerry, Graham, all those folks have offices here in Sioux City. And they've got staff here. So when Clark or Lieberman doesn't have staff and offices and people making phone calls, that makes a big difference. So the fact that they're not running, they weren't running at all.
All right. Thanks so much for your call, Ron.
When the caller says has been here 5 or 6 times, I believe he means has been to Sioux City 5 or 6 times, not just to the state of Iowa. And he's quite right. I mean, it's quite normal for an Iowan to say, oh, I just saw Governor Dean a couple of hours ago. This is clearly not going to be true of Wesley Clark, who is very much a newbie in this. And for Joe Lieberman, who does have a lot of other states to run in, plus the fact that he is a United States senator with a job here in Washington.
Well, thanks so much for being with us today, Ron. It's always a pleasure.
My pleasure, Lynn.
NPR Washington editor Ron Elving. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.